Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I love how these guys pretend to be experts. You've got this liberal political science professor. Well, I'm a professor. This liberal political science professor. You got this liberal blogger that got fired from the Lee newspapers for being too liberal for the liberal Lee newspapers. And he started a little blog called The Daily Montana Now. And he did this big story featuring commentary, expert insight and analysis from this liberal political science professor at MSU Billings. And they said, oh, the Republicans must be getting desperate. Well, isn't that just a case of projection? I mean, the desperate liberal media that has been throwing everything they can possibly throw, every fake news story, every fake phony attack they can throw at Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. They've been throwing out desperate attack after desperate attack for over a year. Remember, they didn't even want Tim Sheehy to survive the Republican primary. That's why they started taking shots at him over a year ago. And their fake phony attacks only made Tim Sheehy even more popular. And so now they're so desperate, they just re-rack the same phony attacks that they threw out 6 months ago, that they threw out a year ago, or that they manufactured over the summer. And none of it's working. But anyway, so Congressman Ryan Zinke, he was on, he's a fellow Navy SEAL along with Tim Sheehy, but Ryan Zinke was on with Maria Bartiromo. I think he was on Fox Business with her. And he referred to flip-flop flat top, two-faced tester, the fake phony moderate. He referred to John Tester as 350 pounds of bovine spongiform encephalopathy. Well, no, he didn't refer to him as BSE. He referred to him as 350 pounds of BS. And so liberal blogger, Daily Montana guy, and the liberal professor from MSUB, got to put the B in there, says, oh, they're getting desperate. Look at what they're saying. They're saying that John Tester is 350 pounds of bovine, no, not BSE, 350 pounds of BS. They're using these attacks in the final days. And it's like, do you guys even pay attention to the politics that you claim to know so much about? I mean, Ryan Zinke used that line 2 months ago. He referred to John Tester being 350 pounds of bovine of BS. And these guys are acting like, oh, look at what we just saw. I mean, give me a break. Give me a break. But then it got me thinking, you know, because they included the Ronnie Jackson, you know, sound bites in there. I was like, ooh, that's a good reminder. We should replay the Congressman Ronnie Jackson, Navy Admiral Ronnie Jackson. Do you guys remember when he referred to John Tester as the swamp hippopotamus? And he called out John Tester and how John Tester will attack any veteran if that's what it takes to try to save his own hide. Anyway, I thought, yeah, you know what? 350 pounds of BS, the swamp hippopotamus, that's a good reminder. We should replay the Ronnie Jackson speech at the Trump rally in Bozeman. Let's do it.
Democracy 24.
Former President Donald Trump unveiled his plans to revive the auto industry at the Detroit Economic Club. Trump has been pledging to lower the corporate tax rate for companies that manufacture in America to 15%. He reiterated that and then expanded even further, offering greater incentives for U.S. car manufacturers.
U.S.-based car makers and manufacturers will also be rewarded with expanded research and development tax credits, very substantial, where they will be able to write off 100% of their cost of heavy machinery and other equipment necessary to build a plant. In the first year,
automakers aren't the only part of the car industry set to benefit. Trump also made a play for car buyers, saying that he will make car loan interest fully deductible. That is the latest in a string of tax-focused pitches from the former president. I'm Madison Aller, Fox Business.
Hey, I keep getting emails, I keep getting phone messages from people asking me, hey, Aaron, with less than 2 weeks to go before Election Day here in Montana, how can we be a guest on your show? Here's how you do it. We've got the phone lines open for you. Whether you're a candidate or whether you're a voter who just wants to jump in on the conversation, Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk. Don't wait to be a scheduled guest. Call in. We've got the phone lines open for you. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here. You don't.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's roll it, and then we'll get to your phone calls. Phone lines will be open for the rest of the hour. But first, here's Texas Congressman and Admiral Ronnie Jackson at the Trump rally in Bozeman, playing this straight off the Montana Talks website.
Howdy, Montana, from the great state of Texas. All right. Look, I want to tonight. This man who tells you that he's up there trying to clean the place up and trying to fix what's broken. This man is a sleazy, disgusting, swamp politician. He's a fraud and he's a liar. I was in the Navy for 25 years. For 25 years, I was on active duty serving my country. I was an emergency medicine physician. Right, I went to Iraq with the United States Marine Corps to a surgical shock trauma platoon on the battlefield between Fallujah and Ramadi. I spent the last 14 years of my career in the Navy on active duty at the White House, serving three presidential administrations and taking care of three presidents, including the best president this country's ever had, Donald J. Trump. A spotless, flawless career in the Navy. I'd never had a single complaint about anything. I was a Navy Rear Admiral. And at the end of my time in the military, while I was still on active duty, President Trump had the trust and confidence in me to nominate me as the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, which I was happy to. However, let me tell you, John Tester, at that time, was the ranking member on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. He was going to oversee that process. He was also up for re-election. It was 2018. He decided that it was in his political best interest and would help his election if he could come out and be the guy that tore down one of Donald Trump's cabinet nominees. He came after me. He tried to destroy me. He tried to destroy my family. He got together with some disgruntled employees that worked for me at the White House who were upset because they didn't get promoted or get something they wanted during their time at the White House. One of them, in fact, is currently Joe Biden's doctor. They got together with him and his staff, and they made up completely absurd accusations and lies about me to tear down my nomination. They said that he labeled me on TV as the candy man. Right? He said that I was recklessly prescribing narcotics. I can tell you, I can count right here on this hand right here how many times I prescribed narcotics at the White House in 14 years. He put that out there. He said that I got drunk and wrecked a government vehicle. Any two-bit investigator can figure out whether or not that happened. He knew it didn't happen. He knew it, and it's been proven that it didn't happen since then. He did not care. He was going to destroy me to better his career, and he passed that information to these morons in the back, right? The mainstream media, who were all too willing to carry this water. And let me tell you, they don't work for you. They work for swamp creatures like John Tester. That's who they work for. Anyways, look, this man tried to destroy me. He tried to destroy my family. I've been waiting for 6 years to get back here for this night, to be with this man right here, to come after him. The end of John Tester starts tonight. And it starts by bringing this man back to the White House so that he can continue the work that he did draining the swamp when he was a president before. He's the best president we've ever had, and he's the only one that can do the job now. So get him back into office. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to bring Tim Sheehy to the Senate to replace this swamp hippopotamus, John Tester.
There you go. That was the line right there. The remainder of Congressman and Navy Admiral Ronnie Jackson remarks still on our Montana Talks website. Big thanks to our videographer that day, Paul Humphrey, shot some incredible video footage, several interviews. The other thing, maybe later this week or maybe next week, I should play a portion of Tim Sheehy's remarks at that Trump rally as well, because I know there were a number of you who you didn't know who this Tim Sheehy guy was a year ago. Well, I knew who he was 10 years ago, because as a veteran, you know, I saw what he was doing to fight for his fellow veterans. So that's why I knew who Tim Sheehy was, not because of politics. He was never some political hack. I knew who Tim Sheehy was because of what he did immediately upon being boots on ground in Montana, building his businesses. I saw what he did for his fellow veterans. And so that's how I knew who Tim Sheehy was. But a lot of you didn't know who Tim Sheehy was, and you were a little skeptical, as you should be of anybody running for office. And some of you saw Tim Sheehy for the first time in person at that Trump rally in Bozeman. You're like, holy cow, my goodness, what an incredible candidate we've got right here in Montana. I think it's worth re-racking a portion of his remarks last week. But yeah, the full interview there, or not interview, the full conversation there, including the other thing that was really funny about that was the introduction by President Trump of Admiral Ronnie Jackson on stage at the Trump rally in Bozeman. Absolutely hysterical. All right, well, we've got the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. Some big news on the lawfare front. Some big news on the election interference front. The left-wing kangaroo court commission, overseen by the Montana Supreme Court, is trying to interfere in the election for attorney general. Big development I want to tell you about. Plus, we got State Senator Greg Hertz joining us in the 9 o'clock hour to talk about it.
Military matters.
We have new information about what was and was not in those classified documents that forced the Pentagon to launch a leak investigation. A senior U.S. defense official tells Fox, quote, "These are not Israeli war plans for Iran." I asked Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin about the leak.
How concerned were you about the leak of classified information showing the U.S. knew about Israel's preparations to strike Iran? Can you assure the Israelis this was not an intentional leak by the administration?
You know that I take handling of classified information very, very seriously. And if there's an instance where proper procedures have not been followed, we will investigate that. And we are investigating this issue.
The leaked classified documents include descriptions of satellite images showing Israeli warplanes practicing air refueling last week for long-range bombing runs. Also, we have learned the FBI does not yet have a suspect, despite false reports that the leak came from the Defense Secretary's office. For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, we're going to have plenty of time in the 9 o'clock hour to take your phone calls as well. That's what I'm leaning heavily on here. With less than 2 weeks to go before the election, I want to keep the phone lines open. If I have a guest on the show, it's going to be for a very important reason. And interfering in our elections and this kangaroo court commission that's going after Montana's attorney general right now, 2 weeks before an election, and they're trying to strip you of your vote for attorney general. That's big enough. We need to focus on that. State Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson is going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour, giving us his reaction to the latest developments on that kangaroo court commission, where they are trying to get him suspended for 90 days. This is an outrageous abuse of what limited power these tiny little despots have. Let's see. One quick thing here before I get to Scott in Columbia Falls. One quick thing. When Ronnie Jackson talks about John Tester being the swamp hippopotamus, oh, the pearl clutchers, oh, why would they say something like that about John Tester? Have you heard the Adam Schiff that John Tester has said about every single one of his political opponents over the years? Have you heard the Adam Schiff that John Tester, the BS lies that he used against Admiral Ronnie Jackson, who served this country? Have you heard these BS attacks against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy? John Tester is completely shameful the way he launches personal attacks. He's trying to destroy a Montana business to help himself politically. Oh, but these pearl clutchers in the liberal media, oh, they're saying not nice things about John Tester. You know why he called him the swamp hippopotamus? It's not just because of the dirty, underhanded tactics that John Tester uses. It's because also John Tester is the number one recipient of lobbyist cash. And one of the TV stations, I don't know if you saw this, they actually did a fact check on that. You know, what about this claim that John Tester is the number one recipient of lobbyist cash? Now, they didn't want to tell you right up front in the headline or in the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraphs of the story. But by the time you finally get to the end of the story, you realize, oh, so it's true. He is the number one recipient of lobbyist cash. Well, why don't you just say that up front? Because they're protecting John Tester. They're covering for John Tester. It's just like when they cover for illegal aliens. They don't put that in the headline. They don't put it in the first 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs. You find it at the end of the story. Oh, this guy's on an immigration hold in the Gallatin County Jail for raping a woman. Oh. Well, why didn't you put that higher up in the story? Because they're covering for the illegal immigrant invasion. It's yet one more way they cover for John Tester and the Democrats as a whole, because they can't highlight how bad things are with the open borders right now because John Tester's responsible for it. All right, Scott, sorry for my extended rant there, but one thing leads to another, you know?
You're golden. Thanks for taking my call, Aaron. I want to talk about the lying John Tester. Ever since he's been in the Senate running against Conrad Burns, he was a born liar. He started right off lying about Conrad Burns. And after he had won, Conrad Burns was defeated, and he said, oh, I lied about it. He's a liar. He's a born liar. He's been lying. He's got a lie to cover up his lies.
And you're exactly right.
He's the biggest gut bomb we got in our government. That money hungry fat. I'll call him fat. Like, Trump wouldn't call him fat. I seen Ronnie at the rally. That was golden.
Yeah, I've said this before. Look, I think the fact that he's a bigger guy could be endearing for a lot of folks. I mean, my uncle was just a great guy, Big Dave, and he was a big guy, real big guy. And so, you know, to me, it was kind of an endearing thing, right? But the thing is this guy is a Washington fat cat who will go after it. Yep. He will tear down any military veteran. He will tear down anybody to stay in power, and to keep that money flowing. Yeah, Scott, one other thing a lot of people don't know, and there's a lot of newcomers to Montana in the last, 20-some years, but one thing people don't realize is, do you know how John Tester first got elected? Like I mean to the state legislature, because this swamp hippopotamus has been a politician for close to 30 years now. Do you know how he first got elected?
I'm not sure.
So gerrymandering.
Behind the barn?
Oh, man, that's a bad visual. That's almost as bad of a visual as our producer Travis sharing his colonoscopy photos on the radio station website. Scott, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. No, it's a very important thing that Travis is doing by sharing that story. So, and reminding, folks out there to get those important medical checks done. But no, you know how John Tester first got elected? Because this is an important message. Look, we've focused at length about the most important U.S. Senate race here in the country, but the Montana Democrat Party right now is corrupt from the top all the way down. And they are dirty, And they are just as radical as these California liberals. They are just as radical as Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. So if you've split ticket voted before, vote a straight ticket now, because these people are crazy on up and down that ticket. Now, they'll lie to you. They'll pretend to be more moderate. But look at the last legislative session and look at how they stood for the radical transgender agenda. And look at the – remember the grandmas? Remember the grandmas? There were grandmas from eastern Montana, central Montana. Remember the grandmas that just wanted to be able to sit on a bench near the little cafe there in the Montana capital? And Zoe Zephyr, no grandma, I'm more important than you. You know, there used to be a time where men would give up their seats for women. But no, the liberal Montana media mocked these women for wanting to dare take a seat in the Capitol, because they were so in bed with this radical transgender agenda. But I digress. You know how John Tester first got elected? Go back and look at his legislative district. Because remember, the people in Big Sandy do not. His neighbors, his closest neighbors, the people that know him the best, do not support John Tester. So how did he get elected in the first place? Democrat-controlled gerrymandering for legislative redistricting. His district looked like a frying pan handle. They took a little chunk over here in, you know, north central Montana, and then they did like this frying pan approach where they slid his district all the way out to northeastern Montana to try to pull in enough Democrat votes to manufacture a seat for this guy so that the Democrats could actually get somebody elected in that part of the country. And why do the Democrats control the redistricting process so they can gerrymander legislative seats here in Montana? Because the Democrats control the Montana Supreme Court. And yet how many times do conservatives, do donors, do activists ignore the importance of the Montana Supreme Court? And then you've got this kangaroo court commission going after our attorney general, interfering in our elections. And then they take all the great work that's done by our elected officials, legislators, assigned into law by the governor, and they throw it in the trash can. Not because of the Constitution, not because of a problem with the law, but because of their own personal, political, partisan ambitions and ideology. How is legislative redistricting done? The Republicans get to appoint two, the Democrats get to appoint two. But wait a minute. In a state that's going to vote maybe 60%+ for Donald J. Trump, why do we get 50-50 representation on the redistricting commission? I mean, if the Democrats don't even represent half of the population, why do they get half of the power? But they get more than half the power, because you get two Republicans on the redistricting commission and you get two Democrats on the redistricting commission. And then all four of them are supposed to come together and pick who the chair of that redistricting commission is going to be. They get to decide who the tie-breaking vote of that redistricting commission is going to be. If you're the two Democrats, you have no concern whatsoever of picking a fair, thoughtful, considerate chair for that commission, because no matter who the two Republicans would support to be the chair of that commission, you can just sit back, throw your little temper tantrum, put your feet on the desk, throw your hands in the air, drink your $8 latte, and do nothing, because you know that if the four of you can't decide on a chair, it goes to the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court, and then they will put a left-wing activist in there to guarantee that the Democrats get a disproportionate share of power in your state legislature. And if they still can't win, because they still can't appeal to average, everyday, working-class Montanans, well, don't worry, because you got left-wing activists on the Montana Supreme Court that will throw the work of the state legislature into the trash can anyway, regardless. And that's why, look, you're hearing all these out-of-state money-funded campaigns supporting these radical left-wing activists like Jerry Lynch and Bitigary, who is anti-mining, who is anti-worker. That's why, folks, you have got to be the ones to get the word out. You have got to be the ones to get the message out about the Sons of Montana. Corey Swanson for the Montana Supreme Court. Judge Dan Wilson for the Montana Supreme Court. And by the way, this Jerry Lynch guy, who has already publicly stated that he will make the Montana Supreme Court a lynch mob for the radical left. Two-thirds of Jerry Lynch's fundraising is coming from out of state. Why should we let out of state big money radical left-wing lawyers decide who's going to sit on the Montana Supreme Court and keep it as a lynch mob for the radical left? That's why folks, you getting out voting early, getting your vote in early, banking the vote, and then you can use your time and your efforts to get more people to get out and vote for the Sons of Montana is so important.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, this is funny. I'm a little late getting to some of these messages that came in on our Montana Talks app. Some of them earlier this morning. Sean and Shelby. So the liberal TV stations that have been, you know, launching all these shameful, phony hit pieces on Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, and they've been propping up the flip-flop, flat-top John Tester. Oh, apparently, well, let's just read what Sean and Shelby has to say here. In the CBS-sponsored Tester infomercial, I really enjoyed the 15-minute panel segment of Poor Me, that complained of none of the real candidates doing their interviews anymore. LOL from Sean and Shelby. Yeah, oh, man, Sean, if there's video of that available, you got to send it to me. I want to see the Poor Me segment. I want to hear these liberal journalists whining that real candidates won't do their phony interviews with them anymore because they're just a bunch of partisan hacks, you know, working for John Tester, and none of their partisan attacks are working. All they've done is undermine their own credibility with their own viewers. I mean, the way I was just telling somebody this the other day, the way in which Montanans, the opposition to John Tester, the opposition to the fake news media, it's calcified. Is that a good term to use? It's just Montanans are calcified against these BS attacks against Tim Sheehy. They're calcified against the fake news media. I mean, it's sad that these TV stations have lost so much credibility with their bad coverage. But in a way, because, I mean, 20 years ago or so, most of the, you know, political analysts, political commentators, political news anchors, they were good people, but they certainly leaned left. You could tell that they leaned towards the Democrats, but they were fair about it, right? They tried to be balanced. They tried to be objective about it, so you could respect it. And as a result, they were actually more successful in tilting the narrative in the Democrats' direction. But see, now they've gone so far overboard. They've gone so far left. It is so blatantly obvious to their viewers and to their readers that they're a bunch of partisan hacks trying to help John Tester, that their readers and their viewers are either A, turning them off, or outright mocking them on their own Facebook pages. It's really interesting to see. Willie in the Paradise Valley, what's going on, Willie?
Hey, good morning. I was just thinking today listening to Ron Jackson and that too, but you know, the one fella called in a few days ago or last week that he was still going to vote for Tester because he was a nice guy. Well, all you got to do is look at his track record. I think that, and there's no one perfect out there, except we know one person was on the earth. But the other thing is I think the conservatives try to be on the high road and that. And these people that are the liberal Democrats right now in the country, in Montana, they don't care. And John Tester is not a nice guy. If he tries to tear somebody's business apart, if he tried to take Ronnie Jackson down and that too, they're not nice people. So but we got to quit saying, well, he probably is a nice guy. No, he's not, because I wouldn't trust him with anything.
He's a dirtbag.
He's got a track record.
He's a dirtbag. Now, that being said, I mean, he can become a nice guy, and there's always, you know, a way to recover and turn your life around. But right now, John Tester is a dirtbag. He's not a nice guy. Now, he can fake it. Politicians are very good at faking it. Hillary Clinton, Willie, if you and I ran into Hillary Clinton at the Ribbon Chop House in Livingston, she could fake it. You'd be like, wow, she's really nice in person. I mean, I don't like her politics, but she's really, I've met her multiple times. She is very nice in person. But just like Kamala Harris, you can see the switch turn, can't you? Yep. Can't you see the switch?
Well, I wouldn't get in their face either like some of these guys. You know, we had, was it Tucker Carlson or which one of them came to Livingston?
Oh, yeah.
Dan Bailey's Fly Shop. And that guy, it's ironic, the guy that got in his face was named Dan Bailey, too, but he was no relation to the original owner of that. And they, you know, everybody thought that was great on the other side, man. I wouldn't, there's people, I don't care, I don't hate them, but look at Chuck Schumer. He's another guy. You can say he's a nice guy. That guy's a weasel, and he's trying to tear somebody down all the time, too. Look at Monica Turnell, what she did to Zinke's VRBO and stuff. And then Tim Sheehy's been on there, and there's guys going on his properties and stuff and trespassing and was in his house as well. I mean, these people are not nice. You got to get that through your head.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember when Tucker Carlson, he was just, you know, shopping at a fly shop in Livingston, and this guy gets in his face, and all the liberal media just loved it. And it's like, oh, yeah. but if it happens to them, they start clutching their pearls. It was just like this whole John Tester story where they're like, oh, why did you call him 350 pounds of BS? It's like, have you seen the BS he's throwing against his political opponents over the years? Yeah. Oh, but now you guys want to clutch your pearls. Give me a break.
Well, you know, the rest of the story on that Dan Bailey fly shop deal, that guy, he all of a sudden had to leave town the next day on a fishing trip. And I thought, yeah, the only reason he did, because there's people out there who are going to tune him up a little bit for that. But got out of town on an unexpected quick trip.
Yeah. Hey, I had a message here from Tammy in Kalispell. She says, good morning, Aaron. Honest question, has John Tester held even one rally? The turnout for Tim Sheehy at his rallies has been tremendous and on the news. But I haven't heard anything about Tester rallies, just photo ops. Yeah, they went through Livingston, and Tester was there. But they never tell you about it beforehand. They only tell you after he was there, right? And John Tester can't even draw a crowd in Missoula. I mean, if you're a Democrat and you can't draw a crowd in Missoula, that's pretty bad.
Exactly. So, but he's not a nice guy. Just remember that, folks out there. Don't be saying that he's a nice guy. He's not, so...
And even if he was, and even if he voted the right way, even if he was the nicest guy that actually votes the way he claims he voted, he's ineffective. Our country is in a mess. It's time for new leadership, right? Willie, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's see. We got some other messages here on our Montana Talks app. Let's see. Tater in Forsyth. The other day, I had a lady tell me that if Gianforte was reelected, there would be no more Medicaid. I told her, no, that wasn't going to happen. She said she called them. I'm not sure who them was. And that's what she was told. I told her I couldn't argue with her because I was at work. But I assume she was talking about Medicaid expansion, which will not shut off Medicaid, of course. Yeah, anyway, isn't that funny? Well, she says she called them, and that's what they told her. Which makes me think of the radical, woke, transgender agenda, Montana Democrat Party. Why would you listen to they, them? Why wouldn't you question everything that they, them tell you? Especially right now, especially with everything that we've seen going on. Grandpa Lou in Billings. Grandpa Lou, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, my friend. And I just want to say hello to everybody. Be sure to get out and vote. And I'd just like to make a quick comment on all that crazy literature that we get in the mail every day here in Yellowstone County. And one particular race that kind of disturbs me a little bit is for House District 51. All the negative stuff that the one opponent is stating about the incumbent Jody Etchart that's working so hard for the people of Yellowstone County in Montana.
Isn't she great? Jody Etchart's a great legislator.
Yes, she is, and she's an outstanding young lady also. And it says in one of the campaign things that Fauci voted against abortions, and they, I don't have the bill in front of me, but down the bottom it says House Bill something or whatever. But Jody did vote against it, but after 6 months, and so that's just another little demon rat, little word game. On
well, isn't, to try to isn't her, if I remember right, wasn't her, isn't her opponent like one of the liberal school board members that, that voted to, you know, shut down school sports, that voted to force masks on teachers and kids, that one of the liberal school board members that was basically not allowing. Remember that young Emily Pennington, just this remarkable young lady with Down syndrome, the West High cheerleader. She just wanted to finish her senior year of high school and graduate with her friends. And this liberal Democrat on the school board was one of the ones that, that was standing in young Emily's way. Well, Jody Etchart and the rest of us stood for Emily Pennington. That enough, that alone should be the reason to vote for Jody Etchart there.
It was one of the deciding votes that allowed all that porn in school district too. If she would have stood up for all what was right and Christian, she would have, she could have stopped all that garbage, but she didn't.
Yeah, school board elections matter. So do these local legislative races as well. That's another reason right there to vote straight up and down the ticket. All right, Grandpa Lou, thanks for your service. Thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. And by the way, I forget who was telling me, but they said, man, down at that local GOP office in Billings, they said, that Grandpa Lou, man, he is a hard worker. That guy never stops working. He never stops helping out. He doesn't just call into a radio show and say, all right, yeah, did my job. I'm done. No, he's not just calling it in. He's getting out there and putting boots on the ground every single day. Let's go to Kevin in Billings next.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Is the economy better off? Well, you know, every time you go shopping, what the answer to that question is, it's far worse than it ever was. How do you like filling up your gas tank? Do you like paying the extra $1.50 a gallon for gas or higher, depending on what the barrel of gas is, a barrel of oil is? You know, do you think your town and city is more safe and secure? Because it's not. Are your schools better off for your kids? They're not. How's defund, dismantle, no bail laws worked out? Is the world the safer place? We now have war in Europe, war in the Middle East, and we have the people that are after Israel and want to wipe them off the face of the earth. They got their money because Kamala and Joe turned a blind eye to the sanctions and made the Iranian mullahs rich.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Like it or not, crime is a reality all of us face. Every day we hear about violent incidents, often closer to home than we think. So how are you preparing to protect yourself and your family from these threats? Now, you need a plan that doesn't carry the lethal or mental burden of using a firearm. Now, that's where Byrner, the less lethal launcher, comes in. It's your safe, effective defense solution. And the Byrner launcher is equipped with a powerful non-lethal deterrence, including tear gas, kinetic rounds. You can hit a target 50, 60 feet away. You can stop a perpetrator in their tracks for up to 40 minutes. Now, Byrner's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a background check. You don't need a permit. And you can join thousands of satisfied customers, including over 500 government agencies and police departments who have left over 15,000 five-star reviews. Just go to Byrner.com/Hannity. You'll get 10% off any purchase. That's Byrner.com/Hannity. Check out their videos. Protect what matters without compromise.
Only vacation getaways and not sponsored by or affiliated with this station or program.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, great point from Jeff and Victor. Great point here. If anything is going to bring Medicaid and Medicare to an end, it will be the 20 million illegal invaders. What a great point there. Jeff, thanks for doing the azimuth check for everybody here this morning. Well, this is going to affect Medicare. This is going to affect Medicaid. Oh, come on. 20 million illegal invaders is going to end everything. My goodness. Jeff, thanks so much for that message. I appreciate that. All right, 406-294-0970. Got a great message from Greg in Big Fork as well. I don't want to hear someone's reaction. I want to see and hear action about the phony kangaroo court garbage against the attorney general and the governor. Greg, that's a great message here. What's the actions that are going to be done taken against this kangaroo court commission trying to interfere in our elections? That is a great message. All right, Chris in Martinsdale, I want to get to you. Stand by, but Kevin in Billings is first. Kevin, what's on your mind? Oh, wait, wrong line. Hold on 1 second. Line two. All right, Kevin, go ahead. Sorry about that.
I was wondering if you had followed up on that story about the political group or something came into town and trashed the motel. They had to throw them out here in Billings.
Yeah, I haven't seen an update on that one. Yeah, yeah, there were political canvassers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and they won't announce who the canvassers are, but I thought that was interesting and just wonder who is here, but didn't know with your connections you may have.
I mean, there's one thing about these political parties is both sides like to party, right? Especially when they're working.
It sounds like they do.
Yeah, but apparently a bunch of political canvassers, the people that go door to door, were staying at a hotel in Billings, and they were partying. It was loud. Somebody complained, and then somebody ended up driving a pickup through the wall, and all that KTVQ television told us was that they were political canvassers. They didn't tell us with which political party these partiers belonged to, which leads everybody to wonder if they were Republicans. We would know. It may have been Republicans. It may have been Democrats. Like I say, both parties like to party. But, you know, if it was Republicans, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Chris in Martinsdale. Chris, good to hear from you.
I was calling today about they've had these surveys, you know, for the NRA. They're kind of vocal about what party they're for. And then back in 2020, like 30% of them was all voted. And then so now they're having the same kind of surveys for the Christian community and coming up with similar results. I don't know the exact statistics, but quite a few aren't voting for a very large number of reasons, some of them religious, actually. But I have a joke, that a motivating joke, if I could tell it. So a town is being flooded, right? And they've been ordered to be evacuated. And maybe it's an old joke. Maybe people have heard it. But I think it's apropos for now. So they send a truck out to go door to door and get these stragglers that haven't evacuated yet. They knock on this one fellow's door. And he comes to the door, and I said, we're here to save you. Come get in our truck. You know, floods coming, waters are rising. Oh, no, I'm a believer. I believe in God, and he's going to save me. And so they try to talk him out of it, and they can't. So he stays, and they move on. And the water rises, and after a while, his whole basement, his whole first floor is flooded. He's got a two-story house. He's upstairs now, living up there with a little balcony off, and he goes out on his balcony, and here they're sending boats now. And the boat sees them, and they wave, and they say, we're here, we're coming, we're saving you. And they get up there to his balcony, and he goes, oh, no, my faith is really strong. I'm a believer. God is going to save me.
That's right. And then we're just about out of time. But then basically, eventually, he cries out, Lord, why didn't you save me? And he's like, I sent you three rescue boats. Fitting analogy for those Christians who stand back and do nothing while their country goes to hell.